again. You were born into God's presence. We are anointed to bless. We are anointed to change lives. We are anointed. We came with heaven. Oh, glory to God. We have been called out of this world. We don't belong here. Because we have been given something in the spirits to become awakened to the spirit realm. You have heaven in you.
Do you have a Bible with you?
Yes.
All right. Turn to the book of Visions, chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading to you from verse 8, and then you will take off from there and read some more. You ready? Okay. From verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That means he led captives in his train. So much to say about that. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. All right, you read verse 11 for me. Beautiful. Let me read that to you. What he just read. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Did he say and several others?
No.
Did he say and anybody else?
No.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? And what for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'll explain that in a moment. Till, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is very, very instructive. In that 11th verse, now the first two verses I read to you, first three verses, 8, 9, and 10, he was talking about the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And not only was he raised from the dead, he also ascended into heaven. But that he did something. He gave gifts to men. Now this time he's not talking about some ability for just everybody. But he's talking about ministry gifts. Human beings who are gifts. Meaning that the five offices that he mentioned here are gifts of Christ to his body, the church. He says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are gifts. In other words, when you have a pastor, that is a gift to you. A teacher of the gospel is a gift to you. A prophet, an apostle, an evangelist. He said he gave some. So in some places, some Christians will be given an apostle. Some will be given a prophet. Some will be given an evangelist. Some will be given a pastor. Some will be given a teacher. Some could be given more than one of them. And one man could have several offices. For example, Jesus had several offices. In fact, he had all of these offices. The Apostle Paul had several offices. He was a prophet and a teacher. And then he became an apostle. And he also pastored. He was an evangelist. So these are several offices. Timothy became an apostle, but he was first a pastor. You understand this? So one man could actually have several offices. Now, what we're talking about here is the purpose for these offices. We go back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. He gave these offices for the perfecting of the saints. Didn't say he gave you another brother or sister in Christ for the perfecting of the saints. He didn't say he gave you a friend for your perfecting. He didn't say he gave you your mother or your father for your perfecting, even though all of these are beautiful and given to us by God as a certain level of gifts. But these are not the ascension gifts. Are you listening to me? These are not Christ's ascension gifts. There are special offices, not because somebody said he is, but everyone who's an apostle or a prophet or a pastor, teacher, or evangelist is separated unto the gospel by the Spirit of God. There's an anointing on him that separates him from others. And there are signs that go with him that prove his office. Because for every office, you ought to have necessary credentials. And the credentials that we have in ministry are spiritual. Hallelujah. Now the first thing we saw there in that 12th verse, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting comes from a Greek word katatismos. And what does it mean? It means to be fully dressed. It means to be fully furnished. It also means to be fully equipped. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. And how are you going to put it on? You would not even know about the armor of God until you're taught. Until you get to know from the Word of God. And how do you put them on? Through faith. First you hear. Next you accept. Endorse. And confess it. And walk in the light of it. And these are all in the ministry of a pastor or a teacher or any of these five to teach you or bring you to that place where you are fully dressed, fully furnished, fully equipped for your life. There are many Christians who are not fully dressed. Even though they are physically dressed. But spiritually, they are exposed. And so they can be easily attacked by the enemy. And so they find themselves either in they're in the hospital one day, or they're knocked out and something happens in their physical body, or on their job or something. They're being attacked by the adversary. Now, the problem is not that you are attacked. The problem is that you're injured. To be attacked is not a problem because you have the whole armor of God. And you can always deal with the enemy if you are well dressed. But if you're not well dressed, you'll be a victim instead of being a victor. That's why you need such ministries in your life. Now, I know there are people who say that every Christian needs all of these five offices. No, he didn't say he gave everybody an apostle, everybody a prophet. He says he gave some. It depends on Christ. He's the one that chooses. What office is the man or woman of God that he calls into your life? That depends on him. You don't choose who your man of God is. You don't wake up to say, okay, well, anyway, this is going to be. No. How does a man of God come into your life? By bringing the word to you that uplifts your life, that shapes your life and shapes your future. And there is a knowing within your spirit that there is a connection between you and that man of God.
Amen.
That's what happens. So you see, he's given these offices for the perfecting of the saints, that we should be well dressed. Make sure you write it down. Well dressed. That's number one. Well furnished. Number two. Number three, well equipped. That's why the Greek used the word katatismos, perfecting. The next part of it says, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. That means you are actually called to do the work of the ministry. Your highest calling in life is not to be a politician, even though that is good. Your highest calling in life is not to be a medical doctor, even though that is good. Your highest calling in life is not to be anything in this world, even though all the nice things you might choose in trade or any career will be wonderful. The highest calling for every Christian in life is the work of the ministry. The more you mature in the things of God, the less the things of this world matter to you. The more you find yourself drawn into the Spirit to become aware of the things of the Spirit. Let me say something to you that I hope will be of benefit to you immediately. Well, but if you don't get to grasp it immediately, don't worry. Sooner or later it will be. Paul tells us how that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, it tells us that he was transported. He was transported into the third heaven and heard words that are not, he said, not proper for men to speak. They're not able to speak those words. They're beyond their understanding, beyond their grasp, because they will not understand on this realm of life. He said it was a third heaven. Well, if there's a third heaven, there must have been a second heaven. There must have been a first heaven. And many times we are told that the first heaven is the atmosphere immediately above us, and then the second heaven is where you got the heavenly bodies, the galaxy, you understand? All right. Then the third heaven is where God dwells. Well, the picture seems okay, but not entirely right. If you look at what the Bible says, for example, turning into the book of Revelation, where he talks about a new heaven and a new earth, he wasn't talking about the various strata in the atmosphere. He also talked about, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. He must be dealing with realms of life. He must be dealing with things that could have been located in the spirit or in the physical. The first earth, for example, in the physical. Now, the Bible tells us there was a pre-Adamite world. Now, that pre-Adamite world was dominated by Lucifer. He was given the authority. He was God's vice regent over that old world. In other words, he was in charge of the first heaven over the earth. Now, what's the need for the heaven? The heaven actually is the spiritual realm that controls the earth. You got to understand, the earth cannot function without a heaven. The earth has to be controlled.